Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.
You know, we can't buy every call we get. We got plenty of customers. I want to continue to grow. I got to keep providing opportunity for my guys. That's my responsibility, is make sure these guys can see a future, see growth and all that. And that's my focus. So brand equity and all that, I mean, we're good there. It's just, I just got to keep growing my business. And I'm too stupid to worry about whether the market's taking a shit or not. I'll go with Chad and just, I don't participate.
This is To The Point, a Rhino Experience, voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts, cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Ladies and gentlemen. Hey, what's up, listeners? It's your boy, Chris. Shit. Hey, if you can't already tell, this episode is going to be one to remember for many, many reasons. Number one, we're actually doing it in a different studio, not in the main studio, because there's quite a few people in this room, if you can't tell, if you can hear them yell. Hey! Very well done, boys. Very well done. We're going to have a great podcast today. I've got a friend of mine who really was uncomfortable coming onto this podcast because, you know, he just doesn't think he was worthy being on this podcast. And I called him Mr. Glass Half Empty. And when you get to know this guy and you hear his story and you understand his business, you'll see that he's 100% perfect for this podcast to share some things. Because this guy's done some things. He's done some things. And his name is Brad Bacon.
Bacon. Bacon. Where's the bacon? I smell bacon. 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 Gotta be bacon. Only one thing smells like bacon. That's bacon. Bacon, 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 bacon. There. From that bag. What's it say? I can't read. Please, please. Give me what's in the bag. Chewy, yummy, smoky bacon.
Here you go.
Oh, boy. No, 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 no. It's bacon.
Everyone loves bacon.
Hey, everyone loves bacon. Mr. Brad Bacon out of Rockwall, Texas. Hey, B-Rad.
What up?
Welcome, buddy.
Yes.
Are you excited?
Not really.
I'm so excited. No. We actually have in front of us a few beers. Mr. Bacon has a glass of Blanton's in front of him, and I've got my co-hosts in here, my buddies. It's a room full of my dudes. It's great. Got Chad Peterman and Aaron Gaynor both sitting at me, looking at me, gazing into my eyes, falling in love over and over again. And you know what? We figure everybody's in town for the different meetings that are here, the super meeting and the SWE. And I thought, you know what? Let's just bring everybody in and do one big show. And Brad brought his posse with him. So the Bacon guys are here. One more time, guys. Let me hear you.
Yeah.
With a little more excitement.
Let's go.
Hey, there we go. So we're going to have a great episode. But I'm excited to share your story, man. And I've gotten to know it a little bit more. And you have a lot of interesting things that you're in and that you do. So before I do that, before I get into any of that, Chad and Aaron, here's our goal today with Brad. And that is to get Brad to use more than three words in a sentence, okay? To get him, we got to ask some good open-ended questions to get him talking. And when he stops, we ask another open-ended question until we get what we want out of Brad Bacon. Deal?
Deal.
All right. And Chad's got to remember to talk into the microphone.
I'll work on it.
I know you just want to look at me, but talking to the microphone. So, hey, we have the pride of South Garland High School, the Colonels. Oh, not the Colonels anymore. Now it's the Titans because you can't say Colonels.
That's right.
So whatever that's about, to the Titans. And by the way, next to you, the next most popular guy to come out of your high school is Carl Williams, man. You played for the Arizona Cardinals out here.
That's awesome.
Did you know you guys were in school at the same time? Do you even know?
No, I was only there for like 2 years. I left in 10th grade. Yeah, we're good.
Oh, well, Okay, never mind then. Well, Carl Williams, sorry, buddy. He doesn't know who you are, so you ain't that popular. Honestly, I don't remember who the hell he is, but it was like early 2000s he played in NFL. But did you go to a big high school?
It was a big high school.
Okay. And you only went for 2 years?
2 years. Most time I was out across the street smoking cigarettes.
Oh, got it. You're that guy. Gotcha. All right, cool. Did you have a skateboard too?
I did.
Did you?
Hell yeah, I can ollie.
Cheers, guys. Cheers. Oh, called it. God. I knew it. I can ollie. Show it. Prove it. Get a skateboard.
Kickflip, man.
Prove it. So, Thirsty Thursday. Is today Thursday? Okay, yeah, this Thursday. Let's go ahead and jump into just a little bit of this. What I want you to do is just let our listeners know, this guy flies under the radar, right? Because remember, until you guys have met Brad, we're like, what, that the guy flies under the radar? He's got this, you know, dice-sized business down in the DF dub. And, we're going to find out about it. So you didn't accidentally build this nice size company. So we're going to talk through it a little bit. Okay. And, but I think what I'd like to do first is with all the listeners is just to, I always like to let everybody know how you got into trades in the first place, but maybe just give us a little bit of the come up, you know, and how you even got into the trades and then ultimately into where Bacon is today. So just tell us a little bit of the story.
So,
in the microphone.
Gotcha. Started out plumbing. The way I got in it, to be straight up, is got my wife. I met her in high school, got her knocked up at 17.
Lori? So,
yeah.
Shout out to Lori.
Had to get a job. First job I got was plumbing. So that's how I got in the trades.
So you became a plumber?
Yes, sir. Not by choice, just by
circumstance. Interesting. Yeah. And you just said, man, I really love plumbing.
No, I really hate plumbing.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I love making money at plumbing. I just don't like the act of plumbing.
Got it. So it was more the entrepreneur piece of it than the actual service itself.
Sure, I guess.
Yeah. You don't like snaking drains and no. You don't like that? No. Aaron, does that hurt your feelings?
No, I understand. I kind of fell into the trades in plumbing myself right out of high school, so I can relate to.
Okay, so you started into plumbing. Now we know you don't like it, but you like making money from it. That's not it. So we got to keep going down this path. So when was that, by the way? Like, give me a time frame.
That was probably somewhere around 92.
Okay. Yeah. So then what?
So got in plumbing, basically residential new construction, started doing roughs, top outs, trims. Then I got really good with communicating with my builders, you know, and, even though it wasn't my job, I kept them informed on where I was. They could call it for inspection, whatnot. Then my boss just decided to, you know, they came to me and said, "Hey, you want to be a manager?" And I was like, "Well, what does it pay?" And, you know, so I just took that position. And then from there, I just kind of learned the business.
What was the name of the company? Can you share?
I mean, I guess L&S Mechanical.
Okay, it don't matter. I just was curious to know if I knew who it was.
Largest plumbing company in the state of Texas.
Still?
Probably, yes, sir.
Okay.
I assume. I don't know. I don't care about them anymore. So I couldn't tell you. They're up there.
That name's not near as cool as Bacon. Bacon's just way so better. It's clear. No. Just so it's clear.
Yeah, Bacon is way cooler.
And everyone loves Bacon.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you work for L&S. When do you like set off on your own and start to do your own thing?
I dipped out a few times there just trying to, I had a few people say, "Hey, you know, you got great relationships with these builders. Why don't you come help me?" So I went and helped a few guys start businesses. Ultimately, I just built them up. They failed. And so, ended up going back to L&S a few times. And then, just finally ended up getting away from there. The market started to take a crap, and back in 2009,
yep.
So, okay. And then just the only other option was to try it myself. So, and I got a little more mature, you know. I don't think I was ready before, but got a little more mature, which is not saying much because I was still pretty immature, but just had enough balls to go out there and start my own business.
Yep. So you just said, "I'm gonna let it rip."
I'm going to let her rip, tater chip.
Let her rip, tater chip. So what year was that you did that?
That was in 2000. So roughly the end of 2010, early 2011.
Got it. So it started off with just you going out and doing the things. Was Lori helping with anything?
Lori was telling me to get another job. So we had three kids and a house we couldn't afford and all that jazz. So she was just telling me, go get another job. I knew that I couldn't afford it with what they were going to pay me and the way I was living. I knew I couldn't afford it. So I ended up just taking a chance and starting my own business.
So sitting here today, you're grateful you took that chance.
Oh, yeah.
You should be.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Grateful it worked out. The chance was easy. It was grateful it worked out.
Yeah. So I know, like you always joke and kind of say, you don't know. You're just, I don't even know how I built this thing. Like, I don't, you clearly have some skill because you've built a great business. So I want to get into some of those things to understand what it is that you did to keep building this thing. So you're not just a plumber. So you, we 2010, 2011, you're doing your own thing. Take me through like that phase. Like, when did you start adding like the other services? Like, or how was it just building the plumbing business first? And I mean, you're just when you bring on your first employee, like that's always a crazy feeling when you have your first like responsible, like person you're responsible for. Like, walk me through that piece of it. And then for our listeners that are listening right now, when I get to the end of this and I ask him to share, you know, what his company looks like today and what size business, you'll see why I'm asking these questions. I really want to walk through this with them. So when did you start adding people and like feeling like, oh my God, I got like a real business going?
Well, so I added one person immediately because I clearly don't like the act of plumbing. So I needed a guy to do the plumbing. I was going to do the selling, right? So I talked a lot and he did the work. So that guy works for me today. Still, he's a great guy. And then so basically from there, just started one truck out of my garage. And then I was on a tangent, man. Anything I could get work-wise, I would take. So had a lot of relationships with builders. So in the market, a lot of those RNC guys went to commercial. So ended up with a lot of commercial accounts, went that direction, got into med gas, started doing a lot of dental offices. And then just out of, you know, that just led me into a commercial business. My kids were coming out of school, got them in the trade. They started helping me with that, and then had a bunch of their friends come out of school helping with that. Those guys have been with me from day one, so they're still with me. So, it's not the best business, but I took it and created it as its own entity, and just because I have such great guys there and great builders that pay them. So we just put that over here, and I wanted to get into home services. It's because I got tired of kind of, you know, doing the chase and check game. I mean, it wasn't necessarily chasing checks. I had good builders, but, you know, the cash flow deal was an issue for me.
Right, because you're having to wait.
Yeah, just waiting. So sometimes, you know, 45, 90 days, and I'm over here just a broke-ass kid trying to figure it out.
Floating it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when do you add the next service, assuming the next services was HVAC?
No.
Or was it electric?
Well, okay, so jumping into the services. So kind of just real quick, went from commercial new construction, separated that out, those group of guys out. Short period, got into home warranty, realized that was just, you know, a ticket to hell. From there, went into just, you know, straight, you know, retail and what I call retail customers, you know, and doing home services. And then that, I seen the light then. And then when I figured, you know, when I could see that, you know, I can make a living here, I can get paid same day, there was a lot of things clicking with me. I just doubled down and went all into that. And that's when I joined Nextar. But once I joined Nextar and started seeing all these big cats over there doing, you know, 20 million and up, HVAC, electric, you know, I decided to start HVAC.
So you just said, yeah. I see these other guys doing it. I'm just going to let it. I'm going to let it rip again.
That's honestly the only reason. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
When did you join Nextar? What year was that?
18.
So what size business were you then?
So back then in the commercial side, we were doing about 6-7 million. And services, I mean, we were very small. When I started Nextar, I was doing 1.3 million in 18 in services.
Okay.
Home services.
Okay.
So
where does Bacon sit today?
So definitely not, you know, pacing to hit our budget, which was 36 million, but we'll finish the year right at 30.
Great. So fair to say he's accomplished a couple of things, boys.
Yeah. And I was sitting here talking to him. He's like, oh, not as big as you guys, 30 million. I'm like, 30 million? Come on, man. 30 million is legit. This is great and a hell of an accomplishment. Little parallel stories, it sounds like, here for both of us coming through the trade. So awesome work, man. Congrats.
Thank you. Appreciate that. So
you have, sounds like you guys have a pretty solid culture at Bacon, too. Is that fair? Yeah. And you guys, some guys have been with you since the jump. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool, right? You get to take them with you. So, and for them to be still, you know, to still be with you and doing things says a lot about, you know, just about how the, you know, how they feel about you, the business, whatever. Like there's a lot of loyalty there too. Yeah. Do you have when you recruit, like, do these guys go out and say, tell their story? Like, hey, I've been with them since the beginning. It's good. Like, cause that's gotta be great for recruiting to have those types of guys telling the story.
Yeah. But I mean, we kind of have a reputation out there. People, I mean, not that I know everybody out there, but we do have a reputation for, I have a reputation, don't know why, but just guys are like, he's a good dude. He'll take care of you. He's one of us. I mean, I get that a lot. I'm not a business guy. I'm a guy that just, I'm a plumber that is doing everything I can to figure out how to be a business guy.
So for the plumber who's figuring out how to be a business guy, who got this business to 30 million, I got to understand, because you realize there's some gaps in that story for me, right? Okay, so I'm trying to figure out, and boys, jump in on anything that you want to ask, but is it you put the right people in place? Like, you kept doing sales? Like, yeah.
So the first thing I had to do was, I had a 10th grade education, dropped out, got a GD because I had to have a GD, get a license. So did that. Never thought I needed school until I started a business. Then I was like, well, here we go. This is when the retard is way deep, knee deep in alligators, and I got to figure this shit out. So I had to find somebody to teach me, and I didn't know anybody. I didn't know these guys, right? I didn't know them. And so I joined Nexstar and just dove in, man. I had to educate myself. I had to have it. So I learned the business through Nexstar, and then I started putting people in place.
Got it. So speaking of Nexstar, we're all at the super meeting, and we had a good time. And you and I met now a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago. Yeah. You came to Rhino X, which almost better.
Rhino X?
Hell yeah, it was. You couldn't say anything other than that. But what's cool about Rhino X is, like, it's perfect for guys just like you, because it puts you in situations to create your relationships with everybody, which seems to be what you've leaned on quite a bit, is like just trying to find, you know, the guys to be able to ask the questions, to talk to learn the things, to scale the business. So that's the gaps I was filling, is how did you do that? So Nexstar has been that for you. Like, what was your biggest takeaway from this particular super meeting that we just came off of?
There's a lot, but for me, the micro thing was big. So he was a keynote speaker there. Really, really big about trying to bring, you know, people into the trades. That's important. Talking about how college, you know, a lot of people are pushing, you know, younger people towards college. They're broke. They'll never pay those debts off. And the trades is a great place for people that may not have the money to go get educated or whatnot. Guys like me, to be able to come in there, and if you're willing to, you know, work and figure it out, you can be successful. So that what I took away from that, it's going to sound really stupid, but they had, you know, you've heard the term, the work smarter, not harder. So I came up with my own term, not smarter, work harder. So that's
trademark.
Yeah. that's my takeaway. That's what I want for all my guys. I mean, there, a lot of these guys, like plumbers, electricians tend to be a little more smarter than plumbers, you know.
Man, I take offense to that.
Yeah. HVAC guys, you know, they're a little different, but they're all good people. I think the big deal is just knowing that guys that don't have the education or didn't, you know, whatever, they were just a screwed up kid like me. And college wasn't in the cards. I think that's a big miss. Is the trades they're taking it out of the schools. It's just, you know, they're trying to create debt, not trying to, you know, get people out of debt. And I think that's a big miss.
So. Totally agree. So you don't, for everybody listening, we're talking about the plumbing, the heating and cooling, the electrical side of it, but he also does more than that. Like, you just keep going. You're like the Energizer Bunny. Remember that Energizer Bunny? Hey, by the way, did you guys remember that bacon commercial? You know what? You were fucking young then. Gaynor, you would remember. Do you remember that bacon commercial? It was like dog treats.
Same age. I'm 45.
I know, but Chad's a young buck.
Oh, yeah, Chad. Yeah.
Do you remember that? You certainly heard that before.
Probably not. What is it?
Yeah. The bacon, the commercial I played right at the beginning.
Oh, I've never heard that.
In your life. Cool. It's bacon strips. Anybody else heard of that? That's their dog treats.
Yeah, I wasn't watching TV. I was out on the streets.
Fair enough.
Up to no good.
Fair enough. So you're also into the roofing and garage door space.
Here we go.
With your company. It's called Riker. Now we were talking about this last night. We're newer into it, right?
New, yeah.
And still like just kind of feeling these things out. But I got to ask, like, are you a glutton for punishment, man? Are you just trying to add more stuff?
It was absolutely. Like,
is it the shiny object that got you?
I'm my own worst enemy. I mean, dude, when you take a guy with a 10th grade education and you show him how to make money, it's all over from there. You know what I mean?
Just plug in the new vehicle. Yeah,
why not? You know what I mean? I don't know. I haven't lost yet, so I keep trying.
Is that how you guys did it?
Yeah, basically. I mean, we started plumbing. We had no idea what we were doing and just started it. So I relate a lot to that. And I think that's what separates a lot of these companies from staying small or getting bigger like you have, is that you're not afraid to try stuff. Like, so many people are stuck in their ways and they're like, they won't. Even Nexstar, they won't adopt the things that, you know, I talked with so many people last night. I'm like, just do what they say. Don't do it your way. Just do it what they say and you'll see the results. And so I commend you for that. One of the questions I had related to roofing and garage doors, what did you see as some of the parallels between plumbing, heating, and electrical, and then the garage door roofing type space, where you thought that you could really leverage those and be successful?
I don't know that there's a parallel. It was really just the customer base, just trying to maximize the opportunity with the customer. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, if you could own the whole home, why not? So that's really the approach. I mean, right or wrong, that was the way I was.
So thinking. Are you cross marketing?
Yeah.
How are you doing that with two different company names?
We tell them that. We tell them it's a sister company. We're upfront about it.
So if you were, that's really great. That's really great to hear. Yeah, because you could cross-sell your memberships, and you got, like, immediate marketing, like, right there.
Yeah, I mean, we're killing it in garage doors with that right there.
So you just hung around Tommy and...
I know. I just met Tommy last night, but I mean, look at that. Look what that guy did. I mean, that's great. So
you just met Tommy last night? You didn't meet him at Rhino X?
No. Well, I was shy at Rhino X. So, yeah. And if I get invited to the next one, can you not have me stand up and introduce myself?
100% having you stand up and introduce yourself, especially now because you said no. My job is to push you outside of your comfort zone.
Well, you're doing it.
Yeah. See, and you're doing a great job. So I'm going to go down another path because he can't help himself. And he, you know, you also are in the meat game. And no, not that meat game, fellas. Mm-hmm. The cattle, you know. Meat game, like, how did you get it? It is a Range Hand Meat Company, right?
That's a badass
Range
badass.
Hand Meat Company. So you're in the meat game, and that I hear is pretty good business.
It's great.
So how does that go down? Just because you're in Texas and you felt like you had to have a ranch and cattle, and like, how'd that go down?
So, well, kind of. I mean, you know, I got a little bit of money, bought some land, bought some cattle for the tax write offs, all that. So, you know, well, if I got cattle, I might as well eat them. I eat beef all day. You know, I didn't get these love handles not eating. So, you know, I was like, well, I can eat my own fucking beef. And so that's where it started there. And then I was like, you know, every time we had a customer spend a certain amount of money, we send them a gift, right? We send them, you know, chocolate, cookies, chocolates, whatever. I was like, well, hey, I could promote my meat company and just ship them a, you know, steak dinner. Or whatever. And then
this guy's an entrepreneur for sure, right?
So that's what I did. And then from there, just like anything else, you see opportunities here and there. And then so we started shipping beef to Chicago. We were in all, like, tons of restaurants out there, you know, in the Dallas area. It just got out of control.
You know where you've not shipped beef to?
To Arizona?
That's right.
Well, let's see if it gets here. You know, if it's thawed, I'm sorry, but yeah.
Yeah, you can get frozen. They can get frozen meat here on time.
Well, we send a lot to
Figure
Chicago.
It out.
It's in a reefer truck. So, you know, to mail it here, I got to take it and put it in a cooler. And
I'm just giving you a hard time.
Well, that's good stuff.
But I see everybody posting about it, so
I would love to see you eating my meat. That would be great.
Get in line. Get in line. God.
That was a perfect
Wow. You've been waiting for that? Did you have that one locked and loaded?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. That was a good one. So I think it's safe to say, like you're hearing saying, you got the entrepreneurial itch. I don't even want to ask what's next. But so you're in the heating and air conditioning business, the plumbing business, the electrical business, the roofing business, the garage door business, and you're in the meat market.
Yeah.
you're into the meat game.
And I build houses on the side, too.
And you build houses on the side.
That's side hustle.
That's the side hustle?
That's my side
The home hustle. Building is the side yeah. hustle. Got it. Well, listen, like it's interesting that you're doing so many things because there's a lot of people tell you to not do all other things until you've mastered one.
Yeah, they tell me that.
And you just keep letting it rip.
Learning shit every day, man.
But you don't regret starting all the different services? Did you like find the person and that person came in and started the
on
that
the, vertical? On the, yeah, the meat company deal, I did find a really good guy that had a background in it. So actually, I bought into that and then there was four partners. They were not all great. And so ended up getting rid of, they gave me majority ownership, or I took majority, bought majority ownership, and then just had some bad partners, restructured it, and then kept the guy that knew what he was doing. And from there, we were off of the races.
What's your main role right now? Like, what's your main responsibility? Just in general.
Just keeping all this shit together, keeping everybody moving, make sure they're doing the right things, looking at the P&Ls, make sure we're pricing ourselves right, making money. That's what I look for, because if I can't make it, I can't keep doing new shit.
So you have some key, positions in there. What are those key positions that you're like, are your go-tos that you rely heavily on?
So, I mean, I do have I'm in the process of trying to, you know, get a CFO. I definitely need that. I got a really solid controller, but I think at this point it's time to get a CFO. I've got really good operations team. I mean, hands down for the plumbing, HVAC, and electric, they kick ass. The meat side, the operator for that kicks ass. The Riker, Adam at Riker, that guy,
yeah, he's awesome.
He's awesome. I mean, it's just they are all great people, and they help me. None of this shit would happen if I didn't have those people.
So. That's great. What did you guys bring on a CFO? Well, Mike was your
Mike came on early for us.
And he was one you sold. You were like a million, and you said like you were going to be 100 million or something.
100 million one day, and he looked at me and was like, this guy is kind of crazy, and I think I like it. He's like, I'm going to go ahead and leave Victoria's Secrets now. I was like, all right. So now we got very fortunate to bring Mike on. But I would say bringing on a solid CFO that has strategic thinking would be key at where you are right now. Assuming you have this all rolled up under some type of holding company or something right now.
Yeah.
All the brands. But so yes. Getting a CFO for that. But I'll let Chad pry. Chad smarter.
No, I think you're thinking the right things. I mean, I think where you're at now, you're going to need someone to be strategic as you move forward, because you're going to be, you know, your payroll is going to increase, all of these things. We were talking about this at lunch today, like just being able to, while it's bigger and bigger numbers seem better, which they are, you also have to manage it better. And having that professional who can, we have a really awesome CFO that, you know, that just let him do that piece. And then, you know, you make those decisions and make sure we're in the right place and we're leveraged right and all of those things so that we can focus on the continuing to grow, the new ideas, all of that stuff. So, yeah, I think you're thinking definitely the right timing, I think, is really good. We added ours later on in the process, which I would have done it at that point for sure.
So back to bacon. Back to bacon. You're in a very incredibly difficult market in Dallas-Fort Worth. You cover the whole DFW metro area.
Yes,
I know one thing that you do to remain competitive there. You picked the best damn digital marketing partner you could ask for.
Of course.
If you guys haven't heard of him, the company's called Rhino Strategic Solutions. I just heard about him the other day. Seemed pretty good. Seemed pretty sharp.
Yeah, just because I'm not smart doesn't mean I don't have common sense.
That's good. You got that street sense, man. That's right. What it is. He's got a little bit of grit.
Very necessary.
That's grit. Gaynor got some of that in him, too. But I got to know, because it's such a competitive market, and like, you know, I'm always curious to know how you're going to compete when the waves, you know, when we're riding the wave and the wave is high. And, you know, Chad and I were in at the ACCA conference, and we were talking about a recession, and Chad doesn't participate in recessions or unstable markets or any of that shit. Just blows right through it and stays competitive and stays the course, pays attention to things, but stays the course. And we have these conversations often in our little text message group just about how, you know, what are we all doing when a market's tough, but like, what are you doing to stay competitive down there? I mean, I don't know how well your brand equity is or isn't in Dallas-Fort Worth, because I don't live there to see it. All I can tell is by your branded search and your branded lead volume. But like, what are you doing down there to stay competitive or to keep going? Because like, especially when it's hard, you better hope your brand is on point. You know, so what are you doing down there to just stay competitive?
Yeah, I think the brand's, you know, I think it's a solid brand. I think just the name alone, everything we have is good. It sticks out. It's got personality. I think at the end of the day, it's just taking care of the customer and building the team. That's what I do. You know, everybody knows if we have a customer complaint, I mean, it's a fire drill. I mean, we got to get on top of that quick. So that's all I can do is I just got to be better than the next guy. And we're not yet. We're not. We don't have all that figured out. I'm not saying we're that company, but that every day, that's the grind. The work's going to, you know, that's ebbs and flows, right? I mean, you know, we can't buy every call we get. We got plenty of customers. I want to continue to grow. I got to keep providing opportunity for my guys. And that's my responsibility, is make sure these guys can see a future, see growth and all that. And that's my focus. So brand equity and all that, we're good there. It's just, I just got to keep growing my business. And I'm too stupid to worry about whether the market's taking a shit or not. I'll go with Chad and just, I don't participate. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know better. That I'm all gas pedal too, though. I don't worry about that.
You got the blinders on?
I guess.
You have to have that shit on, man. Like, that's what the 1% does. Like, you just, like, you don't even think about the shit that can go wrong. I don't think about the things that can go, which, by the way, can be a fault. But if you got somebody good who watches that shit for you, then you're all right.
We're number driven. I mean, we are. Me, not necessarily. I look at the numbers, but again, like, you know, I have people every day that dial in. You know, it's every day is risk. Every day is a grind. Every day I'm learning something new. I'm hungry, and that's what I do. You know, I'm scared of a lot of shit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm scared to be on this podcast, you know, but I'm scared to get on a bull like you did. But when it comes to business, I have no fear there. I know enough to know that I need to make sure that we're making money. I know we need to be priced right. I know all the basics. Nexstar gave me all that. You know, everything else is just keep pushing. And that's what I show up every day and do.
So I'll jump in here, Brad, for you. Like, so a question for you.
Sure.
You have multiple businesses, right? And it sounds like you keep opening these up. Do you feel like the pressure of having those on you drives you? Is that like feeling that there's always this thing just like backs against the wall all the time? And like, is that part of a motivator for you? Because it feels like these new things kind of push you, keep you alive. So tell us a little bit about, is that something that you're aware of? Is that your personality or what?
I'm 100% an underdog, and every day, you know, those challenges are what drives me. So I'll start something to just prove somebody I can do it. That's the way I do it. So like I said, I can't get on a bull, but I can damn sure start a business, and I will do everything it takes to figure it out and make sure we cross the finish line. That's my job. And that's what I enjoy.
So when you think about your future, like business growth, of like, let's talk about Bacon and then all your business. Like, is there a benchmark number that you're driving towards? Is there, you say cross the line. Is there a line? Is there an end game for you? Or like, where is like the big vision for you? Where is this going?
Well, I mean, it's one of those to be determined things. I mean, again, I could put a number to it. I could say I want to be 100. I mean, I want to be the biggest guy, you know, in the nation. But I mean, it's the reality is it's going to take a whole lot of work and a whole lot of smart people to get behind me to do that. And I understand that. But I think I have a brand that's a house that would, you know, work in any state, anywhere. I think it's just catchy. I think everybody likes it. There's a whole lot of, you know, bacon eaters out there in the world. So I got that going for me. And so, you know, I don't know that there's a number. I mean, there's so much going on right now with people trying to, you know, PE groups trying to buy you. You got other guys, you know, becoming platform companies that are, which I love to see these plumbing companies become platform companies and do it themselves. I think that's something that I really have interest in. I have my two sons and my daughter are in my business, and that's like the legacy for me. So, I mean, I make enough money, you know, I broke kid and making money like I'm making now. I mean, I would have never expected that. That's, you know, I never would have thought that was in the cards for me. So it's there. I'm comfortable. I just have to make sure I leave something for my family, and that's it. So that's the only thing that I know today is the end game. Legacy. Yes.
So you mentioned your kids, and I get to work with my dad and my brother every day. Like what, as you being a dad, what do you look at, or what do you focus on as they're in the business? And you know, I'm sure there's probably a lot of listeners, family businesses, different stuff like that. Like, how do you look at your role as allowing them the space to make decisions or make mistakes and fix those? Like, how do you view that from your role as kind of a dad and the owner of a company?
Yeah. So the big thing, it grows with the company, right? So first it was, I wanted to make sure they had work ethic. That was like the first step. So we got past that. They're all great kids. They all grind. I mean, I couldn't ask for a harder working group of kids. Then now it's like, hey, I got to push them to push themselves to be, you know, business people. Cause that's, you know, again, they came into the trades. They're not college educated. One of them is, but, you know, they're all in different stages, right? And they're kind of, and they get comfort zones and get locked in, and you got to push them to get outside of that, because at the end of the game, you got to advance, you got to keep growing. So, you know, that's a big focus of mine, and I let them fall on their face a lot, and I just we work through it. Every one of them understand what, you know, what I want and what I expect. I've set the expectation for sure. Everybody knows that, and they understand that. And so, you know, once I establish the work ethic, you know, all the other stuff kind of just falls in place. So now I'm just guiding them through and pushing them to get out of, you know, that one of them runs my sewer department. The other one ran our general service department. And I wanted to make sure they knew how to make money and, you know, meet their KPIs and work with their techs and get those guys to follow them. Now I take my oldest and pushed him up into ops. So, you know, and my other one, who's a little younger, you know, he's still in that service manager level, but eventually I'm going to push him up. So I'm just there guiding them and getting them. I would love to develop. I would love to see my kids become great operators, because they're starting early. You know, I started late. So they have so much opportunity. I don't even know that they know, but, you know, I'm trying to set them up.
Yeah, that's so powerful. I mean, you know, the one thing I always say about when people ask me, like, what's it like working in family business and all of this stuff, and I always say the number one thing is my dad, you know, was there but stayed out of our way to let us make mistakes. And to me, it was that, you know, gave us the confidence to try new things, to join Nexstar, to, you know, start a new trade, all of that thing, because it always came back to he believed in what we were doing and how we were doing it and was there, obviously was going to help us or, you know, do that, but just letting us do that. So I think you're definitely on the right path there. That sounds awesome. And yeah. What an opportunity they have.
They do. Yeah, for sure.
You, well, Chad's dad, Pete, is a great dude. Love that guy. Pete is awesome. And Chad's got little Pete, too, son. I love that. Like, my kids want nothing to do with this business. My daughter's worked for the company for, like, well, 5 years. That's how long she went to college. Made her pay for half her apartment. I paid for the other half. But she wants nothing to do with it. It's weird. My business is significantly different than yours. Like, I don't know what the hell my company looks like in 5 years with AI. And, you know, it's crazy. But what I love about what you've done, and you guys can see him starting to open up a little bit and like get a little bit more, you know, in depth.
Yeah. Enjoy it.
Yeah. And, and tell him the story and the things that he's done. And you can tell where the passion's coming from and things like that. And you get to pass on like some of the things that took you longer to learn to your kids, but also to probably, you know, your team as well. And you've got this passion for leadership. It sounds like that you don't even, maybe you don't even recognize that you have in you, because you're bringing people down to do trainings and shit, you know, from, you know, I was hearing people talking about, hey, have you ever went down to Bacon and done any training? Do you guys know that he has?
I get emails from his team that says Bacon Training Service System or something going on.
Yeah, what's that about? What are you doing now? What are you training?
Everything I learned. I mean, I literally took, I've never been a CSR. I mean, I guess I was a CSR when I was in the van, you know, and I was taking all the calls. So I was a CSR. I'm training everything, man. The end of the day, you know, they were talking about at the meeting, you know, an academy, you know, and I was like, I get so hung up on buzzwords. Like, describe academy. I mean, you don't have to have an academy. You can, I mean, I train people in a truck. You know what I mean? I start out in the truck. You can teach them. You're in an academy all day. Business is an academy of training people, right? Like, that's what we do all day. So I just bring in, you know, people that know how to coach, and primarily Nexstar trainings. I mean, that's what I do. I'm loyal to Nexstar. I bring those in. I want them to at least learn the basics, and then and they all know that I'm investing in them. And we do roughly, I mean, you know, I've got like 11 or 12 on for 2024 training, Nexstar trainings. We train 5 days a week. I have an in-house trainer. We train 5 days a week, 1 hour in the morning for technicians. We have leadership training in the afternoons for our office staff. I mean, that's how I learned, was just taking the ride. So everybody that comes to Bacon's on the ride. If you're not about it, then you got to go. I mean, you can come in here. You can have tattoos, dreadlocks and all that, as long as you're about learning and growth, I'm about it. I'll take you for the ride, and that's what I look for in people. You can overcomplicate the shit out of that, and I've heard so much shit that I'm just like, okay, whatever, that's a bunch of buzzwords. But you know, I just need hungry people that want to learn, and I provide that for them, a place to, you know, to learn it.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people talking about like them going down and doing the trainings and like the things they took away from it, like that. And I didn't even know you did any of that stuff.
Yeah. So they do that. We do allow other companies to come in. And when you hear people, it's been all week, people have came over and said, hey, my guys, yada, yada, yada. They all like, they had a great experience coming to Bacon and training. To be totally transparent, that is my wife. My wife feeds them well. She takes care of them well. Probably different than others. She is the one that they're complimenting. And when I go home, I'm going to prop up Lori, and she's going to be so happy to hear that, because that's when you hear that. And I know people were coming up as we were talking. That's what they're talking about. She literally, that hospitality is her thing. And she's not in the business. She doesn't run the business. She just maintains all our, you know, all our trainings and make sure that everybody's fed well and eats good and all that. And she does a damn good job of that. That's what the people that come in remember.
Well, we took good care of her at Rhino X. She had a good time.
No, she loves y'all.
Hey, you got, Chad brings in people into top tech, but zero skill, like nothing. I mean, are you doing the same thing, Aaron, or no? Like, I don't know which. So I'm just, I'm just curious, because like you bring in people that literally have zero skill, and then like, and you've been doing it for a while now.
Yeah, we'll bring in this year, we'll train 150 technicians from the ground up.
How many make it through?
So our graduation rate, which we don't want to be perfect, is around 85%. So that's about how many. It's maybe even a touch too high. We want to keep bringing that down so that we know that we're getting the best people through. We're not always going to recruit the best people because you're taking a, you know, you're trying to assess somebody, they have no skill, right? So that's not part of the interview. But yeah, we bring them in, we take them through the training. We've got training in HVAC service, plumbing service, electrical service, and now HVAC install.
Got it. AG.
So, we've done plumbing. We've had about 100 and I think maybe about 120 plumbers through our school program now. Similar, like you said, graduation rate, getting a truck. Oh, there's kind of a fall off rate, right? As you do, just like you go to college or whatever, right? Things happen. People stick. A lot of guys come in, didn't even know how to swing a hammer, right? It's like never even swung a hammer. It's like, wow, it's interesting. But it's been exciting to bring new people into the trades. And I agree with Brad. Like, you know, you don't always need an academy. You just need a place of learning and a culture of learning and a culture of mentoring people. And you'll find your way there, right? I think there's something to be said about, you know, building that school and they'll come kind of mentality, right? So I think there's a lot of value and proposition in that. But I think at the same time, you don't have to have that to be successful. And obviously, you know, you're proving that by just training, bringing people in and hiring the right people. And I mean, it's everything I hear from you is like talking about all the people that work for your kids, your family, people. I mean, you do a really great job of like talking up the rest of the people and that work for you. And you can hear that in the tone. That's probably why you're so successful. What you're doing is that you just recognize all these people that work for you. You might not even recognize that in yourself. Maybe you do, but just good leadership tone from you, man. So, and I love to see a plumber coming up in the trade, coming up, like I said, from nowhere, right? But there. So it's good to hear, man. I don't know much about your story, but I'll tell you what, man, it's an impressive story and appreciate it's awesome, that. Man. Awesome to hear.
I'm just trying to catch up to you guys.
So. Got about $250 million sitting in this room right now. It's nice.
I would say one thing too on the training, and I think Brad and I were talking about this last night, but I can't remember. I talked to quite a few people, but as it relates to training, I think he's done a fantastic job of really setting the culture as to be a learning organization. One of the things that I've learned that I would like to definitely share is understanding that there's a difference sometimes between training and education, and looking for educators out there in the world, recruiting teachers, recruiting principals to help with the training. What we found is that these people can take, while they don't have the technical skill, you need some, if you're training the actual plumbing stuff, you're going to need some technical expertise. But for retention, and they just learn quicker because they know truly how to educate people. So if you're out there and looking to create a culture like Brad has, I think that one step that I wish we would have made earlier was finding a professional educator. Because I have learned so much about teaching and adult education and all of these things that is easy to overlook. But also going out and recruiting a teacher, like, hey, you don't have to listen to parents anymore or the kids or all the crap that you guys put up with. Thank the Lord. But they can make a huge difference for sure.
Yeah. I mean, and I feel like you've done such, like, I got to go see Chad's facility, the new facility, what was it, a couple weeks ago or whatever. And all the different training rooms that they have, like, it's ridiculous. If y'all haven't seen it, you ever go do shop visits? If not, you got to go check out these guys' place.
I had one, but it got canceled. They had something come up.
So. Oh, yeah.
And then today.
Ask for the VIP tour. That's the one you want.
Well, that's what I want.
I'm sure one of these guys will take care of you.
Yeah.
For sure, man. You're welcome anytime.
Yeah.
Well.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, listen, like, you know, everything he's talking about in his business is who I viewed him as. And that's just, he's a good fucking dude, like just a good dude. And he's chill. He's laid back. You know, you start to see now just from some of the things he's sharing, like he's not, you know, he gets it. He understands it. And you're taking all those things and teaching it to others because you have a big heart. And that's what helps with with culture is that you like legit care about the people. And if you don't fake that, which a lot of people do fake it, you know, like you know, it's about the money. I'm a big believer in reputation over revenue. And if you hammer and focus on that reputation by taking care of the customers and taking care of your employees and all these things, you know, the revenue will follow. Like, and I'm a big believer in those things as well, but I love seeing guys like you win. You know, when I feel like I've got a really great circle of friends, like my close buddies, you know, my circle of influence, and like these guys are in my circle of influence, and they're all just genuinely good dudes, you know, and we all are just kind of good with putting on blinders and going and trying shit and motivating one another, and finding that circle is so incredibly important for growth. And we're of like all shapes and sizes. We got everywhere from Tommy, you know, and there down to me. I'm at the bottom of the circle, which, by the way, that's where you want to be.
It's an impressive group for sure.
But I commend you, man, on a job well done. I know you're still going, and I know you've held out from this private equity play, and I know you've had shit thrown at you a lot. And I think what's interesting, you know, about this whole PE thing is, one, it really put a big spotlight on the home services as a whole, which I think is going to be great long term for our business, or, you know, trying to get more interest in it. But the you know, you stood strong, like you haven't done anything with it. But once you also learn what you can do with that as a platform, like you're talking about, where it's still kind of your show to run with, but you're also playing with some of the house money as well. Like, you could build a monster if you can maintain that culture and like create something really, really special down there. I mean, think about guys that are his size that are still private. There's not that many. Like, it's majority of people have it. So you got something really special there, man. I know that we have lots of conversations around these things, you know, just as in our group, you know, some of our buddies, you know, I have a private equity partner, but it was a growth play for me. Like, you know, it was so I could keep going and get all the things that I'm not good at out of my way, but and bring in smarter people to help me keep going. So I'll be curious to see, like, even when we see you next year, like, where, you know, where you're at and what service you've added on since then.
Probably not more services, but hopefully I'm better at them. So
what's next for you, dude? You just going to kind of keep your head down and keep grinding? Like, what's 2024 look like for Brad Bacon?
Yeah, man, I'm ready for BPW. I'm ready to set up, you know, do my budget. And then I'm going to go just January 1, I'm going to go out there and just be ready to wreck it. That's what I'm going to do. Whether the market's shitty or not, I'm just going to show up and, you know, go after it. That's the plan. So, and the recipe is easy, man. It's just the grind. If you're willing to do the work, all that other, I mean, I'm serious. I have a 10th grade education. I did not pay attention in class. I'm not smart. I have to count on my fingers, man, like, or use a calculator. It's a simple recipe. It's just work ethic. And so I'm going to show up, and I'm going to bring my work ethic, and I'm going to just keep trying to build my team and do my thing. And I got to learn how could I sell my company if I don't even understand how to talk to those guys? So growth plays great. I just don't even know how to speak with those guys yet. I'm not on that level, so I got to learn it. So,
well, what's the best way for him to learn that, guys?
Look, I think the equity part has been great for the home service business, right? It's built a lot of millionaires, and it's built a lot of great businesses. But I also don't think it's necessary for every person to do.
Right.
And I think you got to do what's in your heart. And, you know, I think going out and talking to them, regardless if it's something just because you want to be educated, like, you should talk to people. That's what we did.
Yep.
We haven't done any platform deal ourselves. Some other people have done them, and there's great opportunity in them. I think it just comes down to, like, getting out there, having the conversations, educating yourself, like anything, just like we did with Nextdoor. Like, yep. I'm a plumber by trade. I joined Nextdoor at like 3 million. Right. And just got to work and took those practices and didn't. Just same thing here. It's just, how do they engineer money? What are they looking for? What's going on? You know, and just get out in front and do what you're doing right now. I mean, I think you've been pretty successful. I think you're pretty humble in general, it sounds like, right here. And I think you've done some amazing stuff. So I wouldn't keep it. It's good to count ourselves out, because I kind of operate the same way, right? A little bit, like, against the wall. Always feel like I'm the one out. But just getting a chance to sit here and see you and your mannerisms when you're talking and hear you speak, it's just there's a lot of good stuff happening here. And I think if you want a legacy for your family, then you should just do that. Like, if that's what makes you happy and makes your family and makes you go, do that. If it's about building an equity group to, you know, create other, you know, partners or wealth or some of your team in that, then do that. Right. I think it's, you just, you know, those decisions will come, and you keep building a great business that will always be there for you, man.
it just will always be there.
Where are you at right now? Where's give our listeners who have not, if somehow they've not heard you, where are you at in revenue from your $3 million next star? Where are you at today?
We'll be over probably about 60. We had short budget too, right? Everybody, yeah, everybody says that this day, right?
Yeah, we're all good. For sure.
We were going for 71. You heard me earlier this year on the podcast. Yep. We had an acquisition. With that acquisition, we'll probably be falling right around that 60 million this year.
Right.
So regardless, this still is an amazing story here. And 30 million, I was saying earlier, is like, used to come in and be like, somebody was 20 million. It's like, oh my God. And I'd like, 30 million is an amazing, and that's not even your other businesses. So imagine your other business, you got some revenue going on here. Oh, so you're doing really well. Can I just ask him one question?
Absolutely.
I don't know how much time we got here. I heard you say a couple of times, like you're 10th grade education and not coming up with much and just trying to figure it out and place all these people in. Like, what is the thing that you're most proud of to yourself?
The kids. Since,
right now, like what, like from that 10th grade to that switch all the way through, is it your kids, it's seeing your kids?
Yeah, just seeing them become good kids.
Is it coming your kids back here?
One of, yeah, my oldest.
Okay.
Trevor.
All right. We got some people here.
What's up, okay. Trevor?
Yeah. I was just a fucked up kid. So just seeing them kids not go the route I did was a win.
So the purpose for all this is really your kids?
Pretty much, yeah.
Not bad. Not bad. I don't think my dad said the same thing. You have a pretty cool dad, Trevor.
For sure.
You got a pretty cool dad.
Definitely. My dad did not say the same thing, so very fortunate place to be.
You know what? One simple thing, that everybody at this table has. When were you supposed to be here this week, Aaron? Today's Thursday. When were you supposed to be here?
Tuesday.
Why are you here on Thursday?
Work. Yeah. Schedule.
You took care of shit. Like,
yep.
We got work ethic at this table, right? I mean, Chad gets up and I stay with Chad at the Cove, of course, down at the lake. And I get up, and Chad's already beat me up and been looking at emails and doing shit before, like as the sun's coming up. I'm like, bro, I get up, bro. He's already up and on his computer. We all have work ethic. We're willing to work hard. And I'll be damned if somebody says we can't do it. Yeah. You know, I mean, I bootstrapped our business together. Nobody gave me a thing. You know, I did go to college. For almost 4 years, and I got an associate's degree. You know how long it takes to normal person to get an associate's degree?
2 years.
2 years. In criminal justice, by the way. I was going to be a sheriff, and then I got a DUI 2 weeks later. So I really know how to make my parents proud. But you know what? Shit worked out.
To be.
But I grew up on a big-ass farm, man, so we learned work ethic, as a kid, learned that. So, but that's one thing that can take anybody far. And that's where most fall short, right? Like you don't want to put in the work. You say it, you talk the big game, but then when it comes time to like put in the work and miss the shit because everybody else is going to do it, that's where you like the rubber meets the road on like, that's when you learn what kind of business person you're going to be. Are you really going to do what you say you're going to do? Like one of the things I've said forever is ambition without action is useless. It's great. It's like when people go to these, out here to these meetings, you took time. You got a bunch of your crew that's in here too. You got your son here. You guys are out here. We get to see each other and network a little bit, but hopefully you're taking something back. And if that's a relationship, great. If it's a tool and a new skill, great. If it's, that you just came out here and tried to be around people and find another circle, great. But you got to do something with it. And this is where most fall short. And what I think is a blessing for you, and this is what was a blessing for me, is I just didn't think I could fail. Like I believed in me and myself. And I thought, well, if I can just, I believe in myself. So I will get it done regardless. My biggest problem was I had to learn how to rely on others and delegate. And that's very difficult because if they can't do it better than me, I'm just going to keep doing it. Really, that's awful. You can't scale like that. But we have work ethic, and that's a big deal. So if you're listening to this podcast right now and you're small and you're sitting, you're like literally listening to this and you're in your truck and it's just you and you're in that moment and then you're in this time of year where demand is low for you and you're feeling the pinch and you're trying to figure out what the fuck am I going to do? Like how my, cash flow is tight. Guaranteed someone's listening right now with that pit in their stomach as I'm saying it. Work ethic will get you far. Keep grinding. The worst thing you can do is have a pity party and go home and cry about it is no, you figure things out. And if you can't figure it out, you have no reason to not reach out to anybody and ask for help.
And where you're going and how you're doing it and the work ethic behind it, to me, that's your secret sauce. that's what makes you able to have different brands, to have different businesses, and you see them be successful is because of the culture that you're building. And in my experience, that is the number one thing. If you can build that culture, but then you build it around learning and working hard and doing the right things and taking care of people, well, like, that's what, to me, is the one thing that I feel like people miss sometimes. It's like, ooh, I know all these things about business. It's like, that's great, but no one wants to work with you because you're an asshole. So stop doing that and just start caring about people. So, no, man, as Chris said, definitely cheering for you and here to help out in any way I can. Love to get down to check out your place, too. But I love going to different places and learning. And
I heard there's a bourbon trail down there in Texas. Got to go down there.
Yeah, count me in.
I'll close with the same thing, really. Or like you said, going to these events, getting out, doing stuff and meeting new people. I was tied up. We had some new VPs we just hired. So I was wanting to be there for them. Didn't want to miss a leadership meeting. It was important. My son goes to school out here at ASU, so I want to see him too. But I got jammed up. But my point is on that is like coming out here, I'm glad I made the flight this morning to see my boys. And actually to also talk about new relationships is get to know you. I'm just sitting here listening to you. And it's exciting. Definitely want you to win, whatever I can do to help you out too. And we got stuff we can learn from you. Obviously I could see the way you talk, the way you're handling. I got to figure out how to get in this meat business or something. I don't know, man. Can you help a plumber out, man? Come on. Help a plumber out. I don't know. We're probably in the chicken business or the corn business.
He sends Ohio. Thank yous with meat. I mean, meat, come
right?
on.
Come bro. On, man. Like it we works. Got stuff to learn
and
from
then
you.
Makes money off of
makes
it.
Makes money off of it. So, hey man, I just congratulations on all your success and, it's good to hear and love to hear this family story and how you're making that work, man. So I was glad to see you open up here. I know we were all sitting here a little quiet, but you can see it building as you go. So this is why everybody works for you.
Appreciate
you
it.
You can see it, man.
Thank you.
From L&S Mechanical to the dawn of DFW. Yes, sir. Hey, be honest. This was fucking easy. Come on.
This was
pretty easy.
I mean, look, it worked out, but
everyone loves bacon.
I'm sweating right now. So.
Everyone loves bacon. Everyone loves bacon. Yeah, like it only took us two tries to get that one. That was totally random, so well done. Listen, man, grateful to have your friendship. Grateful that you trust my business, to help your business grow. It's a great partnership. We got to know each other, and it's fun for me to introduce you to my guys too, and my boys and keep scaling and growing this thing together. But to our listeners, like what I love about the podcast is this thing is, you guys, we were talking about on the way out here or the way over here from SWE is this thing's become, I hear everybody telling me their stories that they take away from the guests on the podcast. Someone's going to hear your story and it's going to save their business. That's the reality. It's like pretty powerful, right? It wasn't that you had all this great education. It's just that you were willing to fucking grind it out and you believed in you and you did it, And, my wife, Anna, is definitely the low risk, very methodical, very logical thinker. Like I'm trying to buy a house at Sweetwater Lake where Chad's house is in Indiana and I live in Arizona. It makes zero logical sense to do.
But
I'm a salesman. And I'm going to sell her on it, and we're going in a week to go look at a house.
Is that why you're pitching it on here? Yes.
But you're just willing to keep going, man, and you got people that believe in you, that are backing you, man. So you got, all the right pieces in place to keep scaling this thing, man. And it sounds like, what's cool about this is a lot of times when people don't have, I'm not trying to shoot for 50 million or 80 million or whatever. They're just fucking grinding and going and doing the thing. When you typically see the money start to follow those things. So to our listeners, listen, I'm sure Brad, will connect with you. I'm sure you'd be happy to connect with him, right? Just hit you up on
Brad at everyonelovesbacon.com.
Brad at everyonelovesbacon.com. That's Brad at everyonelovesbacon.com. .com. Boys, I appreciate it. Did we have fun today?
That was a blast. Absolutely.
Bacon, did we have fun today?
That was great.
Man. Trevor, how'd your dad do?
He did excellent.
He crushed it, huh? He's a good dude. Brad, you did good, man.
Thank you.
This was fun. See, the bourbon made it. Once he got that glass down, it was like, It was go time. Oh, yeah. It was go time. So, hey, I appreciate you guys taking time on here. We're a little bit over an hour. And listeners, hopefully you hung on long enough to hear all this story. I'm sure you did. But feel free to reach out to any of these guys. You know, I've had them on before. These guys are my friends. But these guys have big hearts. Everybody wants to help. But all you got to do is have a little bit of work ethic. A little bit of work ethic. Believe in yourself. Refuse to believe the narrative of unstable market or all that bullshit. And just keep your faith, you know, your head down and keep trucking through. Because guess what? Even if demand's low, it's not gone. Somebody's going to take it. Why not be you? There's lots of ways to kind of go and get it, even if call counts down. Lots of ways. And if nothing else, your back's against a wall right now, reach out to these guys and ask them how to get out of it and how to help, and they will. So from L&S Mechanical to the Dawn of DFW, Mr. Brad Bacon, well done, my friend. So listeners, you don't got to do everything, but you got to do something. No 0 days. Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, we have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and hit write a review. And be honest and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you and your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services Podcast. We appreciate you. Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show. So stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.